Okay. Of course, we have looked at Proverbs 31 before, and we're not going to take the time right now to read Proverbs 31, 13 through 27, because we will be going back there in some point of our study because of a section that we have on the excellent wife back there. But I do want us to read Titus 2, 3 through 5, and verse 14, and 1 Timothy 2, 9 and 10, and verse 11 also. So, Carol, would you read Titus 2, 3 through 5, please?
Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored.
Okay. And Pat, would you read 1 Timothy 2, 9 and 10, and verse 11, please? Mm-hmm.
Likewise, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modestly and discreetly, not with braided hair, gold or pearls or costly garments, but rather by means of good works, as is proper for women making the claim to godliness. A woman must quietly receive instruction with entire submissiveness.
Just a quick question. Does anybody remember over in Proverbs 31 what the excellent wife clothed herself with? Strength and dignity. Strength and dignity. Proper clothing. And we're going to be talking about this proper clothing. This it talks about, as we go down, doing good works, those kinds of things, you know, an attitude and preparing herself and everything to do good works. And we're going to find out what some of that is. Okay, in Titus 1:1, I ask you a question. List the words that describe what the Holy Spirit says the wise should follow. In these passages in Titus, and we're just taking Titus, and you know, we can go throughout the Bible and find all the list of words that God uses for His word and everything. But just in these chapters and context, what did you find that the Holy Spirit says the wise should follow to speak, to teach or train, to honor and to adorn? What did you find in Titus 1:1?
According to godliness.
Okay, according to godliness, the faith, the teaching of that brings about the faith of those chosen of God, which is and teaching the knowledge of the truth. The truth. It is the truth according to godliness, which brings about godliness. It's the truth that brings about godliness. Titus 2:1. But as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. So, we're going to be talking about things that are according to sound doctrine. And to teach those things. This is Titus, a preacher. But when we get over and we start talking about the older women and the older men and those kinds of things, we're talking about things that are according to sound doctrine. Titus 2, 3, and 5. Talk about the older women, you know, that they're to encourage the younger women. And what did you find in those passages that describe what we are to teach and to speak and to adorn? What did you find? Or did you?
Teaching what is good.
What is good and the Word of God. It says that the Word of God may not be dishonored. But, you know, to teach what is good. And if the Word of God is going to be dishonored by action, and then it means that it will be honored by teaching that within the Word of God. Okay? That is the good part. Okay? Titus 2:10. What did you find? Titus 2:10 says, not pilfering, but showing all good faith that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in every respect. So what are we to adorn? The doctrine of God. And 2:11, I didn't put on there, for the grace of God, or the word of the grace of God, has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. So, the message of his grace, you know, brings us salvation, and we'll get into that a little bit more. Any comments or questions? Okay. What does these words bring about? What does following this word of God, this truth, this sound doctrine bring about in Titus 1:1? We read that.
Godliness.
Godliness is holiness or sanctified, which is an attitude, you know, towards that sacred. The RSV, the Revised Standard Version, says that that accords with godliness. The NIV says which leads to godliness. And the King James Version says that it is after godliness. So, a person, Titus 1:1, you know, chosen of God, the knowledge of the truth which leads to, brings about, accords with godliness. So this is what we want to follow if we want to lead our actions toward godliness. Titus 2:5, verse 11 and 13. What do these words bring about in Titus 2:5? Yes. 2:5. To be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be dishonored. So turn that around to the positive. If we follow these things, what will these things in our lives bring? Honor to God, honor to his word. The King James says not to blaspheme God, not to cause God to be blasphemed. The Revised Standard Version says not to discredit the word of God. The NIV says not to malign the word of God, to speak against, to not hold in reverence. Remember Romans 1:1, when they didn't honor God as God, or they didn't give thankfulness, what all those sins led to? Well, because they didn't honor God. And it seems such a little thing. You know, we think, oh, they were awful people. But we, as wives and women, can be guilty of discrediting God, of bringing shame, you know, to his word, and not being able to give honor to his word by our actions. And, you know, we're going to look at this. You know, if we are not these things, if we are something else that does not lead to godliness, then we blaspheme the word of God. We cause others to blaspheme the word of God. And that's very serious, isn't it? What else in verse 11 and 13? Let's look. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation. If we adorn the doctrine, verse 10. And that we, because we believe in the message of the grace of God and we adorn ourselves with His Word, it brings about salvation. Am I reading that correctly? I don't want to miss, you know, apply the verse. But to me, that's what it says. If you have any questions, if we can do that. Verse 13. Looking for the blessed hope. So, salvation and hope. Adorning the Word of God in the context above, being these things as older women, younger women, older men, younger men, brings about and gives us hope. If we do not adorn those things, what might it do to our hope and our salvation? It will nullify it, won't it? Yes. And in verse 14, you know, it talks about a people zealous for good deeds. Good deeds is not just, helping somebody on the street or fixing a meal here and there. Good deeds is contextually teaching what is good. All the things that comprise being the right kind, the older man, the younger man, the younger woman, the older woman. These things that are taught, that Titus is teaching here. Good. What God says in His Word. Good deeds. For us to follow. To participate in. To hold in reverence. Okay. What will following worldly wisdom? Now this has to be turned around a little bit in some of the reading. Titus 2:12 says, starting in 11 again, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, godly in the present age. So, if following those words brings about godliness and honor and salvation and hope, what will following worldly wisdom, what does verse 11 say that it will bring?
Ungodliness
and worldly desires. Yeah. It's going to bring about seeking after those things that dishonors God, that is not after giving Him glory, and taking on the desires of self and world and not doing the will of God. And in verse 12, it also says that if you take on the adornment, that we live sensibly, righteously, and godly. So turn that to the opposite. Sensibly. If you're following after world's rules and world desires and not God's, it becomes senseless. It's not sensible. It's senseless. And we'll deal with that word in another passage. And unrighteous lives. It leads to unrighteousness. Any question? Any thought? Any notes? Okay, let's turn to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 2, is a passage that a lot of women don't like. And we'll be talking about some instances. 1 Timothy 2, 9, 10, and verse 12. Amanda, you want to read that, please?
Is it 9?
Well, just 9 through 12. We'll just, 12. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Likewise, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modesty, and discreetly, not with braided hair and gold and purple pearls or costly garments, but rather by means of good works, as is proper for women making inclined to godliness. A woman must quietly receive instruction with entire submissiveness, but I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man that should remain quiet.
Okay, so if following God's word and adorning yourself with right clothing that befits godliness, what will adorning worldly wisdom bring about? What's the opposite of the good works and adorning yourself with godliness in that passage? Improper clothing, not a life given over to the good works of God, but evil and vain work with immodest, see, it's immodest, without shame clothing, those kinds of works that they do, their behavior. Without discretion or sobriety. They do not have a clear understanding of what is right. They have no discretion. They do not... Discretion is understanding. Discernment is judgment. But they don't judge what is right, and they don't understand what is right, so therefore they follow after vain things, because they're following world wisdom. So without discretion. And also in that passage, it just flows on down. Women not in subjection to their husbands. Don't you just see that everywhere? Women not in subjection to their husbands. It's a problem in the Lord's church. And it is definitely the rule of the world, not being in subjection, being your own woman kind of thing. Just the other day I saw an advertisement. It was two little girls, and this was very innocent, right? And they were taking their moms to school for career day. The first little girl took her mom, who was a stay-home mom. And she introduced her mother, and her mother, and this is all played out. Her mother tells everything that she does for the family and that kind of thing. Second little girl introduces her mom, who is an executive in a firm there in town. And so as the mothers and everything speak, they make fun of the first little girl and her mom because she's just a mom. They clap and praise for the mom who is an executive. And as it turns out, at the end of the ad, it is an ad for higher education, for adult education, so that the mom can go back and get an education so she can be better. And that's the word they used, better. Okay? And then, that same night, advertisement for Reese, is it Witherspoon, that played Legally Blonde? She has a 15-year-old daughter, and she also owns her own production company now. And she is making movies that project women as being stronger and better. And she said out of her mouth, and I quote, "Because I want to encourage other women, along with my 15-year-old daughter, that just being a girlfriend," which I'm sure her 15-year-old girl, you know, has a boyfriend, are a wife, are a mother, you know, is not enough. She needs to be stronger and better and in her own right than that. Now, that's the message that's out there for our girls, for our boys, for us to be influenced by. And that is just too little moments in time of information that's coming across the airways, or in movies, on TV shows, friends at school, counselors at school, those kinds of things. So it is a huge problem that God's people and moms and, you know, that are raising their children to be godly young women face and will face, and even more so, I believe, in the coming years if the world stands. God warns us in these, did you look up Proverbs 11, 18 and 12, 11b? Proverbs 11, 18 says that the wicked earn deceptive wages while the righteous get a true reward. You say, oh, well, I'm not wicked. You know, this person's not wicked. This mom who neglects, or this wife that's not in subjection, she's a good person. This wicked is the Holy Spirit, the God of the universe, language that he uses of people who do not follow according to his word. Not his wisdom of the world. Wicked. Wicked are those who do not esteem or adorn the word of God in their lives. So, deceptive wages. It looks good. That's the devil's way, you know, making everything look good from the beginning. But it doesn't bring good gain. It doesn't bring a good reward. Proverbs 12:11b. And I'm going to put she instead of he. You know, that the Hebrew writer wrote the he. She who pursues vain things lacks sense. See that word again? Senseless. Are sensible, sense, right understanding, right judgment. Proverbs 12:11b. Would you read it if you have it?
12:11.
Yeah, 12:11b.
Yeah. He who tills his land will have plenty of bread, but he who pursues work.
Okay. The second part of that. Whatever the pursuit, it's vain things, lacks sense. Women are pursuing a lot of vain things while leaving the things that lead to godliness. Any questions or comments? That's attitude. So we have to fix our attitude, or we're not going to do anything. We're just going to keep on keeping on. Attitude is, I want to serve God. I want to do the word of God that leads to godliness. I want to adorn those things that God says that will lead to godliness. Is that my aim? Is that my attitude? Whatever it takes, I want to. And remember back there where it talks about not honoring God or blaspheming God. do I want to honor God with my life? That's what drives me. That's my attitude. What am I going to do? What choices am I going to make that I can honor God and not bring discredit to His name or His word? Now, so then, that brings us to, you know, that's if that's our attitude, then we have some really good role models. We have goals. We have texts in the Bible that we're talking about having an attitude towards to go to learn what I'm going to adorn myself with. So, Proverbs 31:10. Now we get to Proverbs 31. Let's turn back to Proverbs 31. We're not going to go over this a whole lot because we studied this in length. And so we're going to just hit these points and go on. Proverbs 31:10 and 12. Can you read? Okay.
Who could find a virtuous wife? For who he worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. You can talk?
Yes.
She does him good and not evil all the days of her life.
Mm-hmm. And verse 21. Yes, Margaret?
She is not afraid of snow, for the household of all her household is clothed with scarlet.
Okay, and verse 25.
The strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come.
Okay, strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future or times to come. So what did you all put down? You know, if I wanted a goal, and this is extolling the excellent wife, and I want to adorn myself, what do I want to be? What's it say? What do I want to do?
Good.
Yeah. To be an excellent wife? What else? To,
you know, somebody that's wondering, she's not afraid of snow. What does that imply?
Okay. She, to do good and not evil to her, she clothes herself. Let's look at this. She clothes herself and she clothes her family. Okay, but let's see what she clothes herself and what she does for her family so that she smiles at the future. Okay, verse 17. She girds herself with strength, makes her arms strong, and then down, she makes coverings for herself, verse 22. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. She makes 24. She makes fine linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Verse 25 is the key. Strength and dignity are her clothing. She smiles at the future. 26. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household. Okay. Verse 21. She clothes her household. If she clothes herself with strength and dignity, and she begins, verse 30, with the fear of the Lord. She's going to clothe not only herself, but she's going to teach wisdom, and the word of kindness is on her tongue. She fears the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning, you know, of wisdom. Proverbs 1:7. So, she teaches wisdom, and she makes herself into this excellent wife and mother. She teaches the good things. When the storms of life come, the snow, and they do come, they will be equipped to, yes.
This is figurative language.
Figurative language.
Oh, yes. So snow will be like troubles.
Troubles of life. Yes. Yes. Sorry. Yeah. You're right. You're right. Thank you for clarifying. This is figurative language. This is, okay. So the strength and the dignity and the wisdom, knowledge of God's word that she has, you know, strengthened herself with, she teaches that. And as we see over in another section of the lesson, she even demonstrates that with her talents or her teaching, with her character, that others even are helped, or, you know, by that. Okay? Influenced. Thank you. That's the word I have written down over here. Thank you. Influenced by that. Okay? It's not that she is literally making belts and selling them out there in the market. Okay? She's using some of those things from the wisdom of God and influencing everyone that comes in contact with her. So, you're right, Margaret. Thank you for asking that. But Pat's right. We need to clarify. Figurative language. A lot of women take this, and a lot of women in the Lord's church and a lot of men in the Lord's church take this literally. And if this is literally, this woman never sees her husband and doesn't have time to teach the Bible to her children, much less learn Scripture herself. She's too busy from morning till way after night. Okay? And so, that she fears the Lord and she does them well. Does them good. And that's, you know,
yes. One more comment about this.
Yes.
If this is taken literally, only rich women
can
do this.
Yes.
But if we understand the beauty of the spiritual aspect of this, the poorest woman in Africa or any other country can be this kind of woman.
Absolutely.
And so as godly women, a lot of women, Steve's taught this in several places, in meetings, and in the beginning, women are all upset, but then when he finally gets down to the crux of the matter, and they understand what the passage really means. They say it's the most comforting passage because it's always been discouraging to them before because they couldn't do these physical rich things that this rich woman could do.
Yeah.
But when they understood the spiritual aspect of it, it's very comforting. You don't have to be wealthy to be this woman.
You know, bringing food from afar and, you know, doing all these things, you know, that means that she's alert. And she does. She looks to get the best. So, we'll talk about that as wives make choices and as wives, as mothers, you know, being alert to what the teaching is for the situation and what is relevant and what is, you know, a good choice for trying to discipline or train, you know, those kinds of things of being alert and being discerning. And so we're trying to cover those things. So did you have anything other than to do good and not evil, to properly clothe yourself and to clothe your family, whether it's just a husband? Yes.
Well, so I'm a bit confused in the sense, as you said, don't take this literally.
Yes.
Is clothe yourself. I mean, I don't see nobody here walking, but naked.
No, what it means is she's not talking about physical clothes. That's the whole point. This is not dealing with what you put on your body. That you know, everybody gets this kind of person is going to have scarlet clothing. In other words, the very best money can buy. The clothing that he's talking about here, strength and dignity are her clothing. That's the whole point.
Strength and dignity. And she gets strength from the word of God. And she gets strength because she fears the Lord. And she makes her arms strong. She gets herself strong in wisdom from God. So she can impart it and teach it. That's her excellent way. Okay. First Timothy 2, 9 through 15. Okay, 1 Timothy 2, 9 through 15, we read it a while ago. Likewise, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing. Here's this proper clothing again. Okay, now this is not talking about long skirts versus mini skirts, low cut versus modest. Okay, this is talking about good works that befits women who claim godliness. So, to be doers of good works according to godliness, and it says here, modestly and discreetly, discretion with understanding, modestly, okay? With shamefacedness, befitting the woman, okay? Not with braided hair and gold or pearls across the garments. He's not talking about outward appearance. He's talking about the inner character of a woman that wants to be adorned that leads to godliness. I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man, but to remain quiet. Let a woman quietly receive instruction with entire submissiveness. It talks about being a doer of good works according to godliness. It talks about being respectfully submissive. And then in verse 15, it says, women shall be preserved. And this is a hard verse, so maybe we can all help one another. Women shall be preserved through the bearing of children if they continue in faith and love and sanctity with self-restraint. What I think that's talking about is if they continue in believing God's word so as to apply it and adorn themselves with it with self-restraint. That's to keep one in check. Keep one in check. To stay within the bounds of. With dignity. Dignity is worthy, or to make worthy, or to dignify. It's an elevation of character. It usually has to do with the high born. Well, who's more higher born than a child of God? Who wants to adorn themselves with godliness? Who professes to be godly? And so, they make those kinds of judgment. That's discretion and discernment. And so, they, now, does that mean that people who don't have children, women who don't have children, are not going to be saved? That's not what that's saying. It's talking about if you do have children, you better do and train those children and be the kind of mom that God says, because you have faith in the Word of God and you stay within those bounds and you love, caring love. You love like God says you to love. So, women, even though they're submissive to their husbands, God will look with grace because they are faithful. They are loving. They hold themselves within the bounds that God gives them. And that is the best I can do with the understanding of that. Do you have another thing to share? Maybe you can.
No, the only thing I would say is you're missing. You didn't mention the not buts in these. There's two
yes.
of them in this lesson.
Yeah.
I mean, in this set of verses.
Right.
And in verse 9, he tells them he wants them to be modestly and discreetly. Those are words that are attitude words.
Yes.
just and that brings about, the attitude brings about, I think the same word is used down in chapter 3, verse 2, where it says, an overseer must be, and then it says respectable. In my version, I think it may be orderly in some other versions. That's the same word there. It's a term that describes who you really are and what
exactly
you're known to be.
Yes.
And he says, not with braided hair and gold or costly garments. That, he's not saying you shouldn't dress. He's not saying it's a sin to wear those things. That's not what your emphasis is on.
That's right.
But rather by means of good works. And then down in verse 12, I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man, but to remain quiet. Some people take this verse and say a woman can't teach a man at all. We know that's not true because of Aquila and Priscilla.
Right.
So when we read these, if we'll look for these words sometimes that help us understand the meaning of a passage, because I studied with an older woman when I was quite young, and she thought it was wrong. You could not have a button on a dress that didn't have a purpose, and it couldn't be too big a button. It couldn't be something decorative. It needed to be very, she didn't wear any jewelry. She wouldn't wear her wedding ring. She came to this conclusion later in life that she quit wearing her wedding ring. She let her hair grow long, and you couldn't put it up. It was, you know, couldn't be braided and all that. And so women take this to the other extreme if we don't understand the not but here. He's not saying these things are sin. The most important thing is that our good works and that we show to be godly by how we live, not by how we dress. We see there are some religions who, they say they can't break it, but they pile it all up on top of their head. It's not
right.
Braided, but it's up there. They take this passage literally. They wear long dresses. They wear, you know, very set standards, and there's nothing wrong with that, I suppose. But the thing is, that's not what the emphasis is on in this passage, but that's where that most people put it, instead of taking it after the but.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and following that, and then we'll close this section. In chapter 3, Pat brought up, you know, then in chapter 3, verse 11, women also, and I think this is talking about the wives of the deacons, maybe even the wives of the elders. Women must likewise be dignified, not malicious gossips, but temperate, faithful in all things. So, this is the kind of character. This is what God wants us to be.
If we have this character, it's going to take care of what we put on our body.
Exactly.
We're going to want to be modest as the world. You know, we're not going to run around half naked. And we're going to teach our daughters, you don't conform to what the world is, we're different. And then because modestly, we have this attitude of modesty and being discreet.
Right.
That takes care of all the rest of it.
That is true. We'll stop there. We'll start with older women. Lord willing, next Wednesday.
Now, where are you?
I am on 5C, older women. The goals.
Okay.
For all women, be doers of good works according to godliness. To be respectfully submissive to your husband. To continue in faith, love, self-restraint, with dignity and discretion. And to do good works, doers of good works, as we suggested, with all dignity. Okay. Let me get this. Thank you so much for your attention and your cooperation in the study. I hope it helped everyone.